Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. The season's over, but draft season has just begun. To talk about the draft, to talk about the East-West Shrine Game, giving you a little bit of a preview, the game taking place on Saturday. The guy on the ground who's been there all week, we have on the phone joining us right now on the line. We have Paul Guillemette of PigskinPaul.com and the Great Blue North Draft Report. Paul, how you doing in sunny Florida?
Well, it's not sunny today. Surprisingly, Brian, you guys get it too. It's just a different climate. But no, we had sun and mid-80s for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the Shrine practices. It was gorgeous. And then you guys sent us down a cold front, and we got clouds and rain and wind, and for down here we got cold, and today it's overcast at this stage of the game.
Interesting. Well, I hope it gets
better. You shouldn't feel so bad up there. It's not always wonderful down here.
Well, I hope you get better weather for the game tomorrow. But anyway, you've been in St. Petersburg all week, which is where the East-West Shrine Game is held. And there's another notable person in the world of the Green Bay Packers who's been down there, and that's General Manager Ted Thompson. And not just there, making a customary brief appearance. He's been there Monday through Friday, and as I understand, the only NFL GM there in the wind and rain yesterday?
I'll go even better than that. As far as an actual GM, other than Mark Dominic of the Buccaneers, who literally is 10 miles across the bridge from the practice facilities, he was the only executive from any NFL team that any of us could recognize. And, I'm not going to claim that I'm, TMZ or Deadspin, but, we've got a network of us draftniks down here. And we've seen enough and smelled enough and talked enough that we've got a clue. Most of the time, we can identify people. And I'll tell you what, the first guy I saw when I walked on the practice field on Monday was Ted Thompson. And he's been at every practice since, including yesterday afternoon in the rain. He showed up and borrowed a poncho from somebody and put it on. And not only was he the only executive there, he was the only NFL personnel there. The scouts were even on the planes and gone home.
Very interesting.
And it was, and it was nasty, relatively speaking. And I'll tell you what, Ted, I left a few minutes early to beat the traffic to get back out of town on a Friday, on a Thursday afternoon in St. Pete/Tampa, and Ted was still there watching the practice. He wasn't leaving until it was over.
What can you glean, Paul, from Ted's presence? Is there anything you could possibly say, like, he was looking at this position, he was looking at defense or offense, anything you could kind of maybe guess what he might be looking at down there?
No, not really. Ted is amazing. He just quietly slips in. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not bashful. He doesn't stand in the shadows.
Yep.
I mean, he'll go right out on the field between the yard lines. He doesn't bother the coaches, but he's not afraid to get as close to what he wants to watch as he can. But he watches everything. He watches everybody and everything. The only thing that I can tell you, and I think it's just habit, it doesn't mean that he's I'm not reading into it, but he's concentrating it on any practice that I have ever seen Ted at. And I'm my fifth year with the Shrine Game, and I've been going to Mobile for longer than Ted's been with the Packers. So even including the first time around, so that I give you an idea how long. He always starts with the big uglies. He's always watching the defensive line and the offensive line initially,
okay,
and then he moves on to other groups later on in the practice.
Why do you think that is?
And he did that again this week, pretty much.
Why do you think that is?
I'm going to pat myself on the back too, okay? I think he, like me and a few of the other older guys, were traditionalists, Brian. You know, football's a game for big guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to quote, you know, the big tuna, you know, God only makes so many big guys. You can't coach size. And I think Ted just has a thing for, you know, a respect for and an interest in and an understanding that if you can't block and you can't hold the line of scrimmage, you probably can't win, no matter how good your quarterback is. And I think that's Ted's philosophy. And I think you can see it in his draft and his signings. And I think we see it down here at these games where, you know, like I said, eventually he'll stand there and watch those quarterbacks too. But I think he just identifies with the big guys.
Speaking of big guys here, let's start to talk about some of these prospects. Paul, if you haven't read it, I suggest you go over to JS Online this morning. There's an interesting blog post from Tom Silverstein, who talked to...
I remember Tom.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He talked to Packers defensive line coach Mike Turgovac, and they talked about the need for the Packers to find a 3-4 defensive lineman with some length. They need that. They've got a bunch of short guys and a bunch of interior pass rushers, but they don't have that guy with the length on the defensive line. So maybe could you talk about some of these guys from the Shrine game this week? I know there's a couple nice guys there. Josh Boyd of defensive tackle from Mississippi State, William Campbell from Michigan, Ezen Cross from Georgia Tech. What do you think about these guys or anybody else who might, you know, have that?
Well, it's a tough one. I will give you some opinions. I'm not going to cop out on you here. But that's interesting to hear. Yes, I will go check that article out. But then my next question is, you know, okay, that's fine. We can draft another 3 defensive linemen this year, but is Dom Capers going to put them on the field?
Yep.
Or is he gonna? You know, I mean, we were joking down here. I digress, but you know, that's part of what you got me on here for, is not just trying to second guess the scouts. You know, the West has 30 defensive players on the roster. 15 of them are defensive backs. The East has 29. No, I'm not down here. The East has 29 players on their defensive roster. 13 of them are defensive backs. And some of us were joking down here that, you know, maybe they were going to change the rules for the Shrine game, and in honor of guys like Dom Capers, they were going to run a 2-3-6 defense all week. And that's why they needed so many defensive backs down here, and the defensive linemen didn't matter that much. I hear what he's saying, and I think that's a pretty good approach to things. I think there's a few guys down here that could meet their needs, but several of the better guys, unfortunately, are the same kind of size that they currently have. You know, I think, you know, internally, you know, one of Josh Boyd you mentioned, well, Josh, I finally got their official numbers, and Josh came in at 6'2.5" tall. We got plenty of that already. Ezen Cross came in at 6'2", 305. There were a few bigger guys, but, you know, like for instance, a guy that I think really, I liked the way he played in college, and I think he showed pretty nicely down here. A.J. Francis from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
6'5" at 320 pounds.
Okay.
But he's not really going to do you much good. I know they don't get hung up on this, but he's not really much of a 3-4 scheme defensive end.
Okay.
He's more of a 4-3 scheme, your big defensive tackle, and then you put a smaller sized pass rusher beside him.
Yep.
You get to some of the other guys, and they're even shorter than that. I got a funny feeling that there's a lot of guys that, you know, Turgovic may be unhappy because there's an awful lot more guys down here that Dom Capers is going to like because they can play with their hand down or they can play with their hand up and drop into pass coverage.
Yeah.
You know, the tallest guy down here, and he's a decent game day player, is Devin Taylor from South Carolina. He's 6'7", 270, and looks skinny as heck. I even question the 270, but you know he's so thin, so to speak, that again I don't see how he would fit in the Packers scheme at all when you're only playing, you know, and he certainly is not agile and mobile enough on those stork-like legs of his to stand up as a outside linebacker. I think we're running into, I think the story may be better, Brian. Watch the articles, and if you want to talk to me the end of next week, we can do it again. The story might be a little bit better at the Senior Bowl as far as the kind of size that you're referencing here this morning on the defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually do think this is kind of a weak year for defensive line in general, but anyhow, we'll get into that more later. I want to stay in the trenches, but get to the other side. Paul, I've been following your work all week at the Great Blue North Draft Report there, and I know you mentioned you actually just happened to be shadowing Ted Thompson or watching at least the offensive linemen at the same time he was. And I noticed you talked about a guy called Sam Brenner, who's a guard from Utah. And a thought just went through my mind. The Packers are known as this team that drafts tackles, almost left tackles, almost exclusively, and turns them into other positions. And the one time Ted Thompson went away from that, he also happened to draft a guard from Utah, a guy named Caleb Schlatteroff. Didn't even make the team. What do you think about this guy called Sam Brenner, a guard from Utah, and maybe just in general the thoughts about, you know, tackles playing guard in the NFL?
A good choice there. I think Sam Brenner has looked pretty good down here. The offensive line coach has been all over him, but it turns out that the offensive line coach for the West is one of these foul-mouthed screamers. And it's interesting. You know, these all-star games, and you learn as much about some of the coaches as you do the players. But Brenner's a good player. He's got a real strong hand punch. He's solid as a rock physically, as far as his build is concerned. And I don't think that Ted Thompson is worried at all about a guard, an interior offensive lineman that's 6'2", 307.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my concern on Brenner, though. I don't see Ted Thompson ever varying away from, especially with his interior offensive lineman, wanting guys who can play multiple positions. You know, I think that's part of their fascination with Evan Dietrich Smith, and I'm not saying he's a bad player, but, you know, they've been incredibly patient. They brought him back after they lost him to Buffalo briefly. But I think part of the attraction there is they know that they can plug Evan Dietrich Smith into any of those three interior offensive line positions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I see that in Sam Brenner. You know, he's been a right guard at Utah since he got there. And with his size, he can't kick outside. I just think that, you know, again, I'm not convinced there's a lot here that Ted's really excited about on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we got back up the truck a second here, Brian, and say that, you know, there isn't going to be a first-round draft pick from the Shrine Game.
Yeah.
There may not be a second-round draft pick from the Shrine Game.
Mm-hmm.
And there are probably only a few third-round draft picks here. There's talent. And in some ways, this is the kind of talent pool that a Ted Thompson shines at, because I would still maintain that if you look at his draft record, much like Ron Wolf, his success factor from the third round on is probably better than his track record in the first two rounds.
Yes.
And so this really is the kind of game, because this game is full of guys that are going to be taken from the fourth to the seventh round, and then, of course, the rookie free agent market, which, again, is a huge population base of the Green Bay Packers roster.
Yep.
You know, he's got more undrafted rookies than he does drafted rookies on his end-of-the-year roster up there. So this game does present some opportunities. But I'll tell you what, another place, and again, he looks at everything, so you can't really pin him down. But I wanted to mention there were a couple of other guys at different places that I don't think the average Packer fan is thinking of right now. But I put on my website, before we switched over to the GBN report for the All-Star games, I put on my website, and I believe this sincerely, Brian, don't be shocked, folks, if the right guy's there, if the Packers aren't drafting a wide receiver in round one, because I think Donald Driver and Greg Jennings are going to be gone.
Yeah.
No, and somebody said to me, yeah, but they still got Cobb, and they still got... And I said, yes, but it's the Packers. You know, with Mike McCarthy as head coach, even three good receivers may not be enough to run the offense and the multiple sets that he wants. And when Randall Cobb is out for a two- or three-game stretch in November, or Jordy Nelson is out for a two- or three-stretch game, you absolutely have to have at least a number three wide receiver quality backup that you can start.
Yep.
So I did watch wide receivers with the Packers in mind, and of course I watched linebackers with the Packers in mind, because, you know, Dom Capers collects linebackers like Zsa Zsa Gabor collects ex-husbands. And there are some interesting wide receivers down here. And yesterday afternoon, I guarantee you, Ted was talking about it. How about I throw you a real curveball here? I'm going to digress from my own start here. There's a really, really good, and unfortunately people are discovering it, tight end down here named Zach Sudfeld from Nevada.
Okay.
And his official weigh-in numbers on Monday were that he stands 6'6" and he weighs 260 pounds.
He had a good game in the bowl game.
Yeah, exactly. And, Brian, he continued that down here. He made, for a guy that weighs 260 pounds, okay, he's really long. You know, I don't know what his arms are, but we'll find out when he gets to the combine, and we'll see how big his hands are. But he's a big guy. So I stood beside him, and he's a guy that actually looks and feels his size, which I think is something else that fans need to understand, that, you know, when you're scouting and looking at these guys, and, yeah, I know, I'm not a pro scout. I don't pretend to be. I can't keep up with those guys overall. But when you stand with these players right down on the field, you realize that you could have three guys that you're standing near that all measure 6'4" and 230 pounds, and there's going to be a huge variance in how they look and how that body's put together. Sudfeld looks like 6'6" and 260, but he was making, and I know this is off the wall to project this, so I'm not saying that he's this player. He was making Tony Gonzalez-type catches in the end zone the last 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he only has to beat his man by a little bit, and he puts those long arms up, and he's really got good glue-like hands. This guy impresses me. My comment is, a guy like Zach Sudfeld might allow the Packers to not have to carry five tight ends, because you would finally have an all-purpose tight end who you can keep in there in the red zone, and if you want to run the ball, he will block for you, and he will take care of people for you. And, you know, he's a heck of a lot better pass catcher than Tom Crabtree, bless his heart.
Yeah.
So Sudfeld was one of the guys down here that, you know, I just looked at and I thought, man, the Packers, you know, could really use this guy. And there really are a strong group of wide receivers down here if indeed, as I suspect, at least somewhere in the first three rounds, I think the Packers will take a wide receiver. Marcus Davis from Virginia Tech, he's officially 6'3", 230. He looks longer than that. He's still fairly raw, but for a guy his size, he runs like a demon. And I really have liked the play of Eric Highsmith from North Carolina down here. He's not quite as big as, but he's smooth out on the field, and he has shown really good hands. I'd love to know, and I'm sure, again, I'll bet he goes to the combine and we'll get a measurement. I would love to know what the hand spread is on Eric Highsmith, because he's a definite hands catcher, and he's got that sense that some players have. His ability to tap his feet and stay in bounds on sideline throws is exceptional. And he's also very shifty and accelerates quickly when he catches the ball in the middle of the field. Reminds me of a Greg Jennings type receiver. So, again, I'm clutching at straws. Usually by the time the draft is over every year, Brian, as you know, because we joke about it and you follow it a little bit, God bless you. You know, if the Packers have 8 or 9 picks, Paul might get two guys.
Yeah.
Not in the right round, not in the right place, but there might be two guys on my list that I thought were Packer guys that they take a sniff at. And the rest of them, I'm sitting there saying, I didn't think that was Ted's kind of guy.
Yeah.
Where'd that pick come from?
Yeah, exactly. One guy I want to pick your brain about because of the new kind of Wisconsin connection here. Gary Anderson, the Utah State, former Utah State coach, nabbed the coach at Wisconsin now. Did a pretty good job at Utah State just in the past year, placing two running backs from Utah State, of all places, in the NFL. Robert Turbin of the Seahawks, Michael Smith of the Buccaneers. And now this year has another running back on the cusp of an NFL career, Kerwin Williams. What do you think about him and perhaps that culture of Gary Anderson in producing running backs and what that could mean at Wisconsin?
Well, I think the thing, it's an interesting dynamic, Brian, because I'm sure this has not been lost on you. The dynamic of it that's really interesting is that on a relative scale, these are smaller backs than the Wisconsin Badgers traditionally line up in that backfield.
Yep.
You know, they're not even in general, you know, if you put them as a group, other than Turbin, who might be Monty Ball size, in my opinion.
Yep.
The other guys are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, here's the catch. I really like Kerwin Williams. I watched 3 Utah State games this year. And by the way, I also think that's a heck of a job by Barry to get Anderson. I think for where he was and what happened and blah, blah, I think Anderson is a perfect kind of guy for Wisconsin. If he could win with the talent he had at Utah State and he can translate the recruiting to Wisconsin, you know, I think he might be a better game day coach than Brett Bielema and his staff. Okay? Now, having said that, I like Williams a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Williams reminds me of, and this is the kind of back that, you know, maybe Badger fans are going to see more of as well if Anderson recruits for them the same way. Williams reminds me of a fairly new guy on the Packers by the name of Harris.
Mm-hmm. Short, quick.
That running back, you know. Yeah, he's that Smurf, really quick burst. In fact, my criticism of Williams is I think sometimes his burst through the hole is so fast that he gets his 5 yards gained from the hole, and he's wound up so quickly that he can't make the cut to get around the safety that's coming up, and he runs right into him.
Yep.
And gets a 10-yard gain, and he might have gotten a 20, but he's a Harris kind of back, which, again, makes you question whether, you know, the Packers now really need to go out and get that scat back, which many of us felt they should have. They probably already have them on their roster. But, yeah, I'm excited on Anderson and what he might bring. And I am sure that if he can recruit at a higher level with more 4- and 5-star players than he did at Utah State, I think the sky is the limit. I really like what he did at that Utah State program. Hmm.
Paul, can we go rapid fire on a couple prospects here? We're running out of time, but maybe just give me 30 seconds or so on a couple of these guys. The biggest name there is Kansas State quarterback Colin Klein, of course.
Yes. Hey, I'll give you a real quickie. A little bit better mechanics, Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I think he's a Tebow clone.
He's got his he can throw better than Tim Tebow, but his arm's no stronger. Not that I hold anything against him, but everything in the interview is he plays for God. I mean, I'm serious. It was Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see him going till the 4th or 5th round.
Yeah, I agree. Name getting a lot of attention there. I have no clue about him because he's from 1AA. Keith Poe or Pooh? I don't even know how to pronounce it. The linebacker from Howard.
Keith Poe, Pal Pooh. Yeah, he's been very impressive. And he's also one of these, and I don't think it's phony, he's one of these rah-rah guys.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my analogy was, and I know he's playing a long way away, so people forget the excitement when he came out. But he reminds me, the Energizer Bunny, he reminds me of when Eric Weddle was at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
He's just on the go constantly, complimenting his teammates, firing up his teammates. And the good part is, he's got range like crazy. He's got good size.
Inside or outside guy?
You know what? I think he could do some of each. He's not a middle linebacker, okay? But I think in the right 3-4 scheme, he could play inside or outside. So you might be looking at a Brad Jones kind of guy athletically.
Okay. Another guy, Syracuse safety Shamarco Thomas, a guy who I've heard he's like 5'10", and I know the Packers kind of shy away from those short safeties. What do you think about him?
Well, I think he's a heck of a player, and he, in the hotter weather, he was wearing his jersey curled up, and I'll tell you what, this kid is like a block of granite.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5'9", 217 pounds. I think what he's going to be very much like, Brian, and you're right, I don't think it's a Packer pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be very much in the pros like Bob Sanders coming out of Iowa.
Yep.
And I think, unfortunately, you know, he may have the same injury type issues that Sanders had because he just throws his body around and it's strong and muscular, but it's tightly wound, you know. And the tightly wound guys are the guys that are prone to the pulls and the hammies and the groins and like them a lot, and so do the scouts. But there are concerns about him physically holding up.
Let me wrap it up with NC State safety Earl Wolfe, a guy I kind of like myself, and just wanted your thoughts on him.
Yeah, I like Earl Wolfe, and he has looked good down here for the practices. And in his case, I would say, now you're talking about a guy with the skill set and the athleticism, the 5'11", 205. Now you're talking about a guy I think that the Packers could/should be interested in. He's athletic enough. He's not a mighty mite.
Mm-hmm.
He's a relatively speaking, he's a full size. Plus, there is talk, and I could see this. He may be talented enough that you could use him as a corner in certain sub packages. I think he's
slot
got the kind
corner?
Of versatility.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think he's got what it takes, and I think it's that scheme diversity that the Packers like.
Yeah, Paul.
Hey, I was gonna say to you, don't forget one guy. I want to give you a quick one on if you weren't gonna mention him. Don't forget the boy from the Fox Valley. Don't forget AJ
Klein
from Iowa
State.
That's
right, from the Wisconsin boy. Give us a quick impressions on him.
I'm very impressed with him, and the surprise part is, he and Jake Knott is tackling tandem teammate there down at Iowa State. Both of these guys were racking up 100 tackles a year as linebackers at for the Cyclones. And I always saw A.J. Klein. I remember him, you know, a little bit from the high school days. And, you know, he was the big, strong kid from the weight room. And I always saw him as a, you know, an A.J. Klein kind of player. Mm-hmm. You know, run to the hole, smash mouth, jump on the pile, but, you know, make some plays as well. Well, you know what? Right now, Brian, and this, you know, I think this is going to do him well. He has developed his game to the point where his strength is now dropping into pass coverage on passing downs.
That's a good thing to hear.
He's really a smart football player, and he's quick enough that he's able to make those drops. And he was even teaching a new linebacker drill to the linebacker coach down here this week.
Cool. Good for the Wisconsin boy.
So, you know, I think he's a third-round pick. I think Fox Valley fans should, you know, feel pretty good and watch for his name in the draft this year.
Very good. Paul, hey, can we talk to you next week when you're checking out the Senior Bowl and an even higher caliber of prospect there?
Absolutely. And Friday's an open day down there, so if that works in your schedule, Friday would be best. And by then, I should have a lot of opinions, and I'll see if I can sniff out anything more on Teddy. But I'm telling you what, he should work for the CIA. That guy just he's like a ghost, Brian. You know, you look up and you see him, and I always say to myself, okay, I'm going to kind of watch and see where he goes. And 10 minutes later, you can't find him.
Go tell him you want to buy him a drink, Paul.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think he's a professional drinker by a long shot. The last time I saw him with a beer in his hand, he had ice in the beer to cool it down. Anybody that drinks their beer on the rocks, I don't know.
Oh, Paul, thanks much for joining us this morning. We'll give you a call next Friday, all right?
Sounds like a plan, Brian. Always a pleasure. Hello to all the cheeseheads. Stay warm up there.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Paul Guillemette.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Guillemette of PigskinPaul.com and GBNReport.com joining us here on the show this morning. He's at the Shrine Game practices this week in St. Petersburg in Florida, keeping tabs on general manager Ted Thompson. Not really. We kind of joke that he's shadowing him, but Ted Thompson was there this week, and you know, it was very interesting, though, regardless, that Ted Thompson, one of the few general managers there to spend the whole week there and show up in the wind and the rain. That is how hardworking the Packers general manager is. When no other GMs in the NFL or NFL personnel alone, even scouts out there for the most part on Friday Thursday, checking things out. So that's really cool. I love talking NFL draft. If you follow Railbird Central, you know that's a passion of mine. So I love having Paul on the show and having him on and us pretty much taking up the whole show time talking NFL draft, talking players, talking prospects, things like that. So that's really cool. And it practically had taken up our whole show this morning. It's already past 9 o'clock. So thanks to Paul for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. If you want to watch the Shrine Games on tomorrow, it's actually a big, there were three NFL college all-star games this week. There's also the NFLPA game taking place in California. They had those practices televised on ESPNU. There was the Raycom All-Star game taking place in Alabama this week. All those games are on Saturday, so a lot of NFL prospects on display tomorrow. Lot, you know, like three football games. I'm not sure if you'll see the Raycom game on TV. It might be some obscure cable network, but Shrine game on tomorrow, NFLPA game on tomorrow. Check your local listings, and so cool. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll be back on Monday again, of course. We'll be talking Packers football. Maybe we'll wrap up the Shrine game a little and talk some more stuff as well. So we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caribou. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone.